Law number 11, the law of the inner circle. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. When we see any incredibly gifted person, it is always tempting to believe that talent alone made him successful. To think that is to buy into a lie. Nobody does anything great alone. Leaders do not succeed alone. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. What makes the difference is the leader's inner circle. Lance Armstrong is one of the most talented athletes on the planet. Because of his physical gifts, he has been called a freak of nature. His sport, cycling, is perhaps the most grueling. The Tour de France, which he has won an astounding 7 times in a row, has been compared to running 20 marathons on 20 consecutive days. Clearly, Armstrong is in a class that few others can approach. His determination is unquestionable. His training regimen is unmatched. His talent is extraordinary, yet without a team, he would not have won a single tour title. Cycling is truly a team sport, though it may not seem that way to the casual observer. During his Tour de France run, Armstrong had an incredible team. Anchoring the team was Chris Carmichael, his coach, and Johan Brunel, an ex-cyclist, who functioned as the team's sports director and master tactician. Both men were indispensable, since Armstrong tended at first to follow his own less efficient training regimen and execute his own tactics, causing him to lose badly. But once those two inner circle members were in place, Armstrong began to maximize his gift. Lance is the first to say he would have never won the Tour de France without the help of his teammates, explains the Team Discovery website. Every other rider sacrifices individual glory at the race in order to work for one rider, Lance, which says a lot considering what's at stake. Yet over the years, Lance delivered every single time following the work of his team, so it goes hand in hand. If the team sacrificed itself and Lance didn't have what it took to come through in the end, we would have to rethink the plan. Leaders have to deliver. There is no substitute for performance. But without a good team, they often don't get the opportunity. Their potential is determined by those closest to them. That is the law of the inner circle. In recent years, people in the business world have rediscovered the significance of teams. In the 1980s, the buzzword in business circles was management. Then in the 1990s, the emphasis was on leadership. Now in the 21st century, the emphasis is on team leadership. Why? Because nobody does everything well. I would have loved to compile fewer than 21 laws of leadership. But when I boil leadership down to its essence, I still see 21 things a leader must do well to lead effectively. However, at the same time, I also recognize that no single leader can do all 21 things well. That's why every leader needs a team of people. As Mother Teresa observed, "You can do what I cannot do. I can do what you cannot do. Together, we can do great things." That is the power of the law of the inner circle. Most people create an inner circle of people. However, they are usually not strategic in doing so. We naturally tend to surround ourselves with either people we like or people with whom we are comfortable. Few people give enough thought to how those closest to them impact their effectiveness or leadership potential. You see it all the time with certain athletes who transition to the professional ranks and entertainers who achieve success professionally. Some self-destruct and never reach their potential, and it can often be attributed to the kind of people they spend their time with. To practice the law of the inner circle, you must be intentional in your relationship building. As you consider whether individuals should be in your inner circle, ask yourself the following questions. 1. Do they have high influence with others? One key to successful leadership is the ability to influence the people who influence others. How do you do that? By drawing influencers into your inner circle. That's what I did with Jim at the church in Lancaster, Ohio, whom I wrote about in The Law of Connection. Jim was the single most influential person in the organization when I arrived. By building a relationship with Jim and taking him into my inner circle, I was doing two things. First, I was exerting my influence on him, sharing my values, vision, and philosophy of leadership with him. I wanted him to be a carrier of the vision to other people in the organization. Second, I was finding out what he thought. If he had questions or objections to what I wanted to do, I was able to find out about it immediately and work through it with him. And because he had so many years of experience with the people in the organization, he often helped me to navigate around potential landmines I knew nothing about. Number two, do they bring a complementary gift to the table? Because of my leadership gifting, I naturally attract leaders, and I'm also highly attracted to leaders. But one of the best things I have done in my leadership career is to bring a few key people into my inner circle who possess strengths in my areas of weakness. One of those people is Linda Eggers, my assistant. I advise young executives that their first and most important hire should be their assistant. In Linda, I have an absolute gem. She has been working with me for 20 years. She has an incredible mind for detail. She is tireless, and like Radar O'Reilly from MASH, she has the ability to anticipate what I need before I realize it. What's more, she now knows me so well that she can speak to others on my behalf, knowing how I would answer questions at least 90% of the time. Number three, do they add value to me and to the organization? I discussed in the Law of Addition how people add, subtract, multiply, or divide when it comes to others. The people in your inner circle must be adders or multipliers. They should have a proven track record as assets to the organization. There is a poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox that my mother used to recite to me when I was growing up. There are two kinds of people on earth today, just two kinds of people, no more, I say, not the good and the bad, for 'tis well understood the good are half bad and the bad are half good. No, just two kinds of people on earth, I mean, are the people who lift and the people who lean. Look only for lifters for your inner circle. Inner circle members should also add value to you personally. That's not selfish. If they have a negative effect, they will hinder your ability to lead well, and that can hurt your people and the organization. Number four, do they positively impact other inner circle members? I'm a big believer in team chemistry, and if your inner circle is going to work together and function as a team, then you need to take into account how members interact. First, you want them to have a good fit with one another. Just as members of a championship basketball team have complementary skills and compatible roles, you want each inner circle member to have a place in your life where he contributes without stepping on the other's toes. Second, you want inner circle members to make one another better, to raise one another's game. Sometimes that comes because they encourage one another. Sometimes it happens when they help one another by sharing information and wisdom. And sometimes it comes from friendly competition. No matter how it happens, if they improve the ability of other team members, they also improve your leaders. No leader starts out with a strong inner circle. When leaders take on new positions, they often have to build their inner circle from scratch. That was the case for me in 1981 when I accepted the offer to lead Skyline Church in San Diego, California. The church had a great history and nationally recognized reputation. It had been founded in the 1950s by Orville Butcher, a wonderful man who was retiring after serving there for 27 years. Dr. Butcher had touched the lives of thousands of people with his leadership. It was a good church, but it did have one problem. It had not grown in years. One of the first things I did after taking the job was to meet with each staff member to assess individual abilities. Almost immediately, I discovered why the church had flatlined. The staff members were good people, but they were not strong leaders. No matter what I did with them, they would never be able to take the organization to the place we needed to go. In a church of that size, the staff is the leader's inner circle. If the staff is strong, then the leader can make a huge impact, but if the staff is weak, he can't. That's the law of the inner circle. The task that lay ahead of me was clear. I needed to remove the weak leaders and bring in better ones. That was the only way I would be able to turn the situation around. Mentally, I divided the people into three groups according to their ability to lead and deliver results. The bottom third I dismissed right away and began replacing them with the best people I could find. Then I began working on the middle third and then what had been the top. The organization immediately began growing. By the end of 3 years, all but two of the original staff had been replaced by better leaders. Because the Inner Circle had gone to a new level, the organization was able to also go to a new level. Over the years, we tripled in size from 1,000 to more than 3,300 weekly attenders. The growth and success we experienced at Skyline were due to the law of the Inner Circle. When we had the right staff, our potential skyrocketed. And in 1995, when I left, other leaders from around the country sought to hire my key staff members for their organizations. They recognized the power of the law of the Inner Circle and wanted to hire the very best they could find to boost their potential. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. That's the law of the Inner Circle. That's the only way you can reach the highest level possible.